When the day of Pentecost, the feast holiday of the Jews, had come, the disciples had been waiting there in an upper room in Jerusalem, according to the command of Jesus. They had been waiting for the promise of the Father, the promise that in the last days God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Their sons and daughters would prophesy, their young men would dream dreams, old men. Young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams. And upon God's servants and handmaidens, He would pour out of His Spirit in those days. So the promise of God was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit descended upon the waiting church, about 120 of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a sound like as of a mighty rushing wind. There were cloven tongues of fire that was sitting upon each of them. The supernatural phenomena that accompanied the outpouring of the Holy Spirit drew a crowd of people who were wondering just what's going on. Some mocking said, oh, they probably got some new wine someplace. And so Peter stood up in the midst of them and he called for the people to hearken to him. He said, for these men are not drunken as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel when God promised he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. When Peter had concluded his message concerning Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, the people were convicted and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do, seeing that we're guilty of having crucified the Lord of glory? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all believers in all generations. Throughout the history of the church, this is God's promise to the believers, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is referred to as the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a gift, it cannot be deserved or earned. God does not give you the gift of the Holy Spirit as a reward for your being good and your being faithful, or for your achieving or attaining a high degree of holiness. It is not a reward. It is not given to you because you have achieved a degree of holiness, because the Holy Spirit is given to you to make you holy. So that every one of you tonight, in your present state of spiritual development, whether you've just started on the path or you've been on it for a long time, in your present state of spiritual development, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's for you. It's available to you. No matter how incomplete that spiritual development might be in your life. The Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit is God's gift for you. One of the greatest hindrances in receiving the Holy Spirit is our looking at our own unworthiness. The minute a person begins to seek the gift of the Holy Spirit, Satan begins to point out your shortcomings and your failings. He's always condemning us. He's always telling me that I'm not good enough to receive God's gifts. And in a sense, he's right. I'm not good enough. And so he can make a real strong point as he begins to point out my failings, my shortcomings, my sins. And he says to me, look, you don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. God doesn't want to do that for you because look at you. And he gets us looking at ourselves. And there is nothing more devastating than to be honest in our looking at ourselves. Socrates it was that cried, know thyself. Man, know thyself. But the Bible tells us that we really can't know ourselves, because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, God knows our hearts. God said, I, the Lord, do search the hearts. And David, recognizing that God knew all about him, he knows more about me than I know about myself. David then prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any way of wickedness in me. Lord, show me what's there. Self-knowledge is, number one, the hardest knowledge that you'll ever come about. I mean, it's just to know yourself is difficult. We are so clever and deceptive in trying to make people think we are something other than we really are that we oftentimes deceive ourselves. We're so good at it, you know. And over the Bible tells us, don't be deceived. But not only is it the most difficult knowledge you'll ever come to attain, it is also, if you should come to attain it, the most painful knowledge you'll ever experience. Self. And so, if you listen to Satan's accusations, and he can find a lot wrong, then the result is often, I listen to him that I am not worthy, and I don't even ask God. I get to the place where I don't expect God to bless me, because how could he bless me as imperfect as I am? And thus, many people are in the very position that James spoke about when he said, you have not because you ask not. And it's just that simple. You could have if you would ask. But Satan, by pointing out your flaws, your weaknesses, has bullied you into not even asking. And thus, you have not because you ask not. As a gift, it cannot be discerned or earned, or also, it can only be received. Jesus said to his disciples, receive ye the Holy Spirit. John 20:22. And when Jesus, in the 7th chapter of John, was inviting those that were thirsty to come unto him and drink, John, in making his commentary on the statement of Christ, said, when he said, "And he that drinks of the water I give, out of his innermost being there will flow rivers of living water," John made his commentary. He said, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive." He cannot be earned. He must be received. When Peter and John went to Samaria to the new believers that had come to Christ through the preaching of Philip, it said they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So a gift is not something that you beg for. It is something that you simply receive. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you, in order that you might have power in your own life to overcome sin and to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And in order that this power working through your life might enable you to be a real witness for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not given to us to make us feel joyful, that we might have an ecstatic spiritual experience, but he's given to you in order that you might have power to witness for Jesus. So it is a gift. It has to be received. But you must ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" God is not going to force on you something that you do not want. There has to be that desire. God will not violate your free will. He has given you a free will. If he would violate it, then there is really no free will. So you must ask the Lord for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to ask. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him." And then later on in the sermon, he said, "Now ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." But we must initiate. We must ask. We must seek. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive." In John 14:13, he said, "And whatsoever things you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you should be my disciples, that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And Paul said unto the Ephesians, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." So God has many things for us. We must ask. James tells us that we must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, I have to confess that there are many things I ask God for that I have difficulty asking in faith. The difficulty lies in the fact that I'm not certain if it's God's will. And if it really isn't God's will, then I don't want it. I have an unwritten kind of an agreement with God that anything I ask for in prayer, if it's not according to His purpose and my best, then, Lord, don't do it. Underwriting every prayer, it's a given. I don't have to say, just a given. God knows that I want His will above everything else. And I often offer my prayers only as suggestions. Lord, if you're open for suggestions, this is what I'd like to see happen. But you do what you know is best. I think that any man is a fool who asks with no regard to the will of God. I do not want anything that God does not want for me. And through my lifetime, I have prayed earnestly and fervently for many things that I did not receive. Later on, as time went by, I realized the hand of God, and I became thankful that God, in His wisdom and in His love, did not give me those things I was asking for, because as a wise father, knowing much more than I knew, He was helping to avert a tragedy that could have happened had He answered my prayers. John in his first epistle said, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So when I'm asking for something that I know is according to the will of God, then I have great confidence. Tremendous confidence in prayer. I know this is God's will. And thus, it gives me confidence, because we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. I mean, it's a slam dunk. If I'm asking according to His will, then I have the petition that I've asked of Him. So the issue is my being filled with the Holy Spirit according to the will of God? And I see you're nodding in the affirmative. Trust that it's not just going to sleep, but you are agreeing. Because the Scripture tells us in Ephesians, commands us actually, not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is a command of God, and thus I can be assured, I can be confident that it is God's will that I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when I ask God for this gift of the Holy Spirit, I can be very confident that I am asking according to His will. And if we ask anything according to His will, He not only hears us, but then we have received that which we have asked of Him. And so, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? So we ask God in faith and in confidence for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think a great hindrance that many people have in asking for the Holy Spirit is that they are expecting or wanting some kind of supernatural evidence that God has answered their prayer. It seems to be very difficult to just by faith believe the promise of God. I want God to give me a sign. Give me some kind of sign, Lord, that you have given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. There seems to be a lot of Thomas in all of us who said, I will not believe until I can see the print of the nails in his hands and put my hand into his side. You're not going to convince me. I'm not going to be until I can see it. And so when Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas finally was with them, he said, look, Thomas, go ahead and touch it if you like. Go ahead and feel the side here. Don't be unbelieving. And Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you see and you believe, but blessed is he who believes though he is not seen. Now, I think that many times when we are seeking some particular sign that God has filled us with his Holy Spirit, and if we do get that kind of supernatural sign that we are longing for, desiring for, that many times God says to us, well, you've had the holy tingles and you believe. But blessed are they who believe without the holy tingles. Those who just take God at his word. Those who do not require a sign. Now we read testimonies like Dr. Finney's. And we read of that waves of liquid love flowing over him until he finally cries out, God, I don't think I can take any more. Please stop. And it sounds, and I'm certain it was absolutely glorious, a glorious experience for him. And we then look for some kind of similar experience. We hear others testify of their experiences and we want to have an experience that sort of correlates with theirs. And we are looking so often for signs rather than just by faith receiving the gift of God because he has promised it and not requiring a sign. And this would go also for the sign of speaking in tongues. Now, as you walk in the Spirit, as you develop in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, as he takes over more and more of your life, it is very likely and quite possible that you will begin to have all kinds of glorious supernatural experiences as God's Spirit is working in your life and you are responding to that work of the Spirit. And sometimes there is a response of weeping. Sometimes there's a response of tremendous joy. An overwhelming love. And there are many different kinds of responses that we can have as we are walking in the Spirit and as we are being led by the Spirit. It's always a glorious thing to realize that God's hand was upon you and God was guiding you and God was working His perfect plan. And you see it and you say, oh, the Lord was leading me. Now, at the time, you may not realize it. But then, as the event then begins to come together, and suddenly you realize, God's hand is directing me. Several years ago, I was called to visit one of the ladies from the church here who had been in a serious car accident and had broken her back. And so I went over to St. Joseph's Hospital to pray for her. And there in the ward, 6-bed ward, there were 2 other ladies from Calvary Chapel. And so I was able to minister to all 3 of them. I didn't know the other 2 were there, but when I came in, they got all excited and thought I'd come to visit them. And so I prayed for them all. And as I was leaving the room and walking back to the elevator, I was excited. I said, Lord, I love your efficiency. I mean, with I don't know how many rooms are in St. Joseph's Hospital, an awful lot. But here, Lord, you're so efficient, you put the 3 ladies from Calvary in the same room so that I can get 3 with 1 visit, you know. This is great efficiency, Lord. I love it. I was just loving the Lord, saying, Lord, that's so wonderful. I just love that kind of efficiency. And I got in the elevator and pushed the button for the ground floor, and when the elevator opened, suddenly I looked and I was lost. There was a nurse's station. It wasn't the lobby. And I stepped back in. I thought, oh, you know, it probably stopped on, someone else stopped the elevator, you know, on this floor. But it said, G, ground floor. So I was really confused then, and a nurse there saw my confusion. She said, are you looking for the lobby? I said, yes. What did they do with it? She said, well, you took the service elevator. And I looked up, service elevator, employees only, you know. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I wasn't paying any attention upstairs. I just, you know. She said, that's all right. I said, well, how do I get to the lobby? She said, it's very simple. Just go down there to the first hallway, turn right, and then, you know, you'll be right out, turn right again, you'll be in the lobby. I said, thank you. And as I was going down, I said, oh, what a stupid mistake, you know. But as I turned down this little corridor, there was a girl standing there weeping. And she looked up and she screamed, Chuck. And she came running up and just began to sob almost hysterically. And I finally got her calmed enough and I said, what's wrong? What can I do? Tell me. Let's pray, but tell me, what can we do? What can we pray for? And she said, Chuck, my dearest friend in the whole world, the man who led me to Jesus Christ, is this very moment having brain surgery. She said, this man is such a wonderful Christian. He's been a missionary over in Africa, and they sent him home to have this surgery. And the doctors give him very little hope for being able to walk again. Brain tumor, but they think that it's affected already his walking ability, and they feel that. And she said, I can't bear the thought of such a beautiful man of God being crippled. She said, I'm just devastated. And so we prayed together. And I gave her some scriptures, pointed her to Jesus. And she said, I was so desperate. I was just here praying, God, I can't handle this. Please send someone along to help me, to pray with me, you know. And she said, I looked up and here you came walking down the corridor. And you know, the light goes on. It wasn't a stupid mistake. You suddenly have that rush. God's hand is on me, you know, he's leading me by his spirit, you know. It's that exciting feeling of God was directing me. God's hand is on me. And talk about a rush, talk about an exciting thing, that realization that God used you. Got you so excited upstairs about his efficiency that you're not paying any attention to signs on elevators. To get you down this corridor, because had I gotten in the main elevator, I'd been out the lobby and gone. But he had to get me in this corridor to meet the need of this young girl who was crying out of desperation to God for help. So as you walk in the Spirit and as you continue in the things of the Spirit, yes, you will have exciting experiences that will thrill you to the core of your being. You will have blessed experiences. And you'll see the power of God and you'll see the various manifestations of the Spirit, which are always thrilling to be a part of what God is doing. But that isn't the proof that you have the Holy Spirit. And that isn't what we are to look for, these ecstatic kind of experiences. We just want more of God, and we want him to have more of us. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And as you ask, then you receive by faith. And properly, you should then begin to thank him for this gift. I mean, quite ungrateful that someone gives you such a glorious gift and you just go, ugh, you know, instead of thanking him. And as you begin to thank him, many times it is when a person takes that position of faith, like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but being rich in faith, he gave glory to God. And as you begin to give glory to God, give thanks to God for his glorious gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, if you have asked according to his will, then you have received that which you have desired of him. And thus, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, it is according to his will. Thus, it would only be proper for you to begin to thank the Lord for the power of the Spirit, for the filling of the Spirit. And it is in that position of thanksgiving through faith that so often people begin to then experience some of those supernatural, glorious ecstasies of experiencing the power of God in a very real way in your life. It's yours. It's a gift. God has given it to you. Why don't you ask Him and then just receive and then begin to thank Him and praise Him? Shall we pray? Father, how we thank You for the Holy Spirit, that You did not leave us comfortless, orphans, but that You sent the Holy Spirit that He might abide with us, that He might indwell us, that He might lead us and empower us. Lord, we need all those things. We need the presence, we need the power, we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, it's our desire to walk in the Spirit that we would not fulfill the lust or desires of our flesh. The flesh life is very strong. Lord, only Your Spirit is stronger. And so fill us with Your Spirit, that we would forsake the flesh, not to obey the desires of it, but to obey the Spirit. And so, Lord, we need it, we desire it, and we ask for Your Holy Spirit tonight to come and to fill us until we overflow. Until there pours forth from our lives rivers of living water. And Lord, we thank You. We receive now. And we give thanks to You, Lord. As we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to the power of the Spirit, Lord, we just give thanks now for this glorious gift whereby we might better serve You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.